Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, the men's basketball season opener has been announced. We'll tell you about the opponent. It's a good one. Also, a couple of really cool events that A-State fans are going to want to know about. We'll talk about those that are coming up very soon. But right now, I want to welcome in our special guest this week. Bobo had mentioned bringing this guy in a while back. And man, I think it's a great guest to have, a former member of the A-State golf team who has gone on to have great success with NBC Sports as an associate producer. It's our buddy Matt Hubbard. How you doing, Matt?
How you doing? I'm doing great.
Man, it's great to have you. And wanted to bring you on because right now I can't imagine there being many people in the entire sports universe that are busier than what you are, because I know you primarily work with NBC on the golf side, but that's not all you do between golf and the Olympic trials, the Olympics coming up here in a few weeks in Paris. What is this summer like for you?
Hectic, to say the least. As we were talking earlier, I haven't been home. I got home yesterday afternoon for the first time in 3 weeks. I was on the road on the Saturday before the U.S. Open, was in Pinehurst there, and then I had to go straight from there to the U.S. Olympic Trials in Indianapolis, and then went straight from there for the U.S. Senior Open. So it's a very, very hectic schedule, but it's one I enjoy. It's fun. It's awesome to be at all these big events. I don't see my family much, but they were lucky to come out to the Olympic trials for a few days, so they got to see that.
Now, which trials did you work?
I did the swimming trials.
Yeah, swimming trials in a football stadium, right?
Yes, and it was actually one of the most impressive things. There was 20 to 25,000 people there every single night. It was unbelievable. It was absolutely awesome. We did all of our production meetings in the visitor locker room. That was fun and cool to see. I never thought of a Olympic pool to be inside of a football stadium, but man, they pulled it off, and
they made it work.
Awesome. It was really awesome to see.
That's the last 3 weeks, and I know there's a little bit of family vacay coming up, but
yes.
Go ahead and then tell us about the next stretch after that.
I only get to get a small breather here, and I'm not even going to stay home for the small breather. We had planned this family vacation for a while once I got my schedule earlier in the year. So we're going to leave the day after the 4th of July. But then as soon as I get back, I'm heading over to Scotland on July 13th for the British Open. And then go straight from there to Paris for 2 weeks to do the Olympics, the swimming and the Olympics as well. And then come home for a couple of days and then head to Memphis for the FedEx Cup playoffs for 3 weeks.
Man.
Oh, that'd be good. A week in Memphis. You'll see some faces you know.
Yeah, it's familiar, close to home. I might head over to Jonesboro, see Dad.
Come on. So, and I know we're gonna cover all this, but if somebody says now associate producer, well, you know, okay, that can mean a zillion things. So if people sitting there watching the Olympic trials or the British Open coming up or the Olympics, tell them the part of the broadcast you're influencing.
Well, I'm actually the graphics producer for all of NBC Golf. So I'm in charge of every single graphic that you see come on the screen, whether it's stat related or the leaderboard, the shot graphics that show you who's hitting, what shot it is, all that. Golf wise, that's what I'm in charge of. Swimming's actually low key. It's very scripted, but I'm still in charge of all the graphics that you see just for swimming, not any other sport. In charge of all that for the trials, and it'll be at the Olympics.
So I'm going to be thinking about you every time I see something pop up on my screen during swimming.
Just during the swimming. So yes, if you see a mistake, which God willing, hopefully none of that happens.
Just make sure you know how to spell Ledecky, and you should be okay.
And gold medal with her.
Yeah. My challenge is that somehow, you know, let's get an Easter egg. Let's figure out a way for you to get a wolf head on the screen at some point during the Olympics. So let me know so I can screenshot it.
You know how many times Woodard's tried to get me to do that? Just accidentally spell Chris Woodard.
I love
he probably
it.
Wants it during golf, though, doesn't he?
Yes, there was actually one event. There is a golf professional golfer named Chris Wood, and he just said, just put an ARD on there. Nobody will notice.
So, listen, I'm going to derail this one little bit before we kind of get back about you, but I want to ask about, from a graphic standpoint, especially with golf, one of the things you see in certain broadcasts is sort of the evolution of incorporating real-time gambling information graphically on the screen. Are you guys there yet?
Well, we did it. We had a partnership with a gambling site up in the Northeast called PointsBet, and we were obligated to do that during a golf telecast. But I don't know what happened, if the contract ended or what, but I think it would be a smart idea. We should be doing it. I would love to see that incorporated in our telecast, but as of right now, we're not.
Well, what sort of information is it, and how are you getting that information?
It's all database interfaced with their site, live updating after every shot. If someone made a bogey, it would obviously, odds would change there. But gambling in golf is so much harder than football, basketball, or anything else, because there's so many variations that go into play. So it's a lot different than football and basketball.
One reason we want to have you on here, Matt, is to tell your story and kind of let people know how you got where you are right now. I know you're a Jonesboro guy. You went to Jonesboro High School. You're very passionate. You mentioned Chris Woodard. You know, you guys are extremely passionate about being Red Wolves. And I'm wondering kind of where that came from. Was that just something that kind of happened growing up in Jonesboro? Where did that pride come from?
Definitely growing up in Jonesboro. I was originally born in Alabama, and then my dad took a job in Jonesboro when I was 2 years old, so I didn't really know Alabama much, but I've always known Jonesboro, lived there until I graduated college. Like you said, went to Jonesboro High School, but always growing up, my dad would take me to basketball games. I mean, we went to every single ASU sport you could think of. We went to basketball, baseball, football. We even went to track and field. And just growing up, going to those games just made me passionate about ASU sports. I mean, I was at the games in the dark days of the early 2000s. But I was still going to the games. I mean, you could hear the opposing teams calling out the plays. It was that's how bad it was. To see it come to where it is today, I mean, it's just, of course you want to take pride in that. I mean, that's our school. That's where we grew up cheering for. I mean, it's so much fun now to see every single sport succeeding. I mean, I know we've had a couple rough years in football, but last year was a fun year. The expectations for this year are going to be even higher. I like what Butch is doing. I like what the road he's doing it on. And it's fun to see everybody having success.
Your story is fascinating for several reasons, but a big part of your story is you are an amputee, and you've never let that hold you back from doing anything in your life. And one thing that is a really cool fact about you, at one point, you were number one in the world in junior amputee golf, won the World Junior Championship a couple of times. What drew you to golf?
That's a great question. You'd think I'd pick a sport a little easier than golf. Trout always joked.
Yeah, it's a bowling. Yeah.
Bob Trout always joked with me. He said, why don't you just choose bowling? You only need one hand for that. I don't know. I guess that's just who I am. I've always wanted a challenge. I was fortunate to have two great parents who didn't hold me back into anything. If I wanted to do it, we were going to find a way to do it. My dad always said you could either sink or swim, and I've just always decided to swim. I also have never known the difference. So yes, I guess you can call me an amputee, but I've never known the difference. So yeah, I don't know why I chose golf. My dad was big into it. I would go with him and just trying to hit balls with him on the driving range. And, you know, he said, well, how are we going to figure this out? I said, I'm not real sure. And then one day I got real mad because I wasn't hitting it good. I reared back and I put the club in my arm and I swung. This is when I was about 9 or 10. And he said, that's it. That's your swing right there. And so we just, with the help of Lee Bryan and my dad, and we just kind of figured it out, and hours and hours of practicing turned out to be successful.
And I'm sure it's going to come back to your parents too, but not only did you say, you know, if you want to figure it out, but beyond that, not only have you not shied away from that situation, you've embraced it. It's your nickname. It's your email. You were pretty famous with a sign you held up at the GoDaddy Bowl one time when A-State had hired Gus Malzahn. So I guess just tell me about just that mindset. Just say, hey, it is what it is. Let's roll.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go back to my dad again. He said, you got to play the cards you dealt. it's not going to change. I'm not going to miraculously grow a right hand. I tried prosthetics many, many times in my early days. And back then, in the early 90s, mid 90s, they were awful. The prosthetics back then were, they would weigh about 5 pounds. It was hot. They were like bricks. I was like, I can do everything without it. So it was a waste of money for my parents. I mean, these days now, a golf prosthetic, they're incredible. It's like, it really is like having another hand. But I'm too far along the lines of trying that out anymore. But we had to figure it out. I mean, it wasn't going to change.
Well, you took what you did in golf, and you know, we mentioned the World Junior Championships that you won. You also were part of the golf team at Arkansas State. Was it at Arkansas State where your interest in media came along? How did you get the interest in television?
Well, I've always been interested in sports, no matter what. I mean, I could watch badminton if it was on TV. But I originally wanted to be in front of the camera. I was always a huge Stuart Scott fan on ESPN.
Yeah, he was great.
He was phenomenal. So for the longest time, I thought I wanted to be in front of the camera. And then I realized I wasn't smart enough for that. So, and I know ASU.
I don't know that you
believe
got that
me,
right.
You don't have to be that smart.
You have to be pretty quick and witty. I don't know. But I knew ASU had a great radio TV program when I was in high school. And I thought, well, I mean, if this is what I truly want to do, then why not just stay home and one, be at the school that I love and be at a program that has a great reputation for radio and TV.
Yeah.
Or media.
We were talking with Brandon Baxter before we started recording, not even 5 minutes before we sat down to visit with you. And he said, you know, Matt actually worked at the radio stations at one point. Did you do that in college?
I did. I did it in college. I worked with Brandon many times at a bunch of remotes. But yes, I worked at
Clear Channel back then. Yeah.
Clear Channel back then. Yep, that's correct. Clear Channel. It had Kiss FM, K-Fine, and The Wolf.
All of our EAB stations now. But yeah. But yeah, you were working here before we were.
Correct. I was. And then Budrow came along. And he had a on the front row with Budrow in the early morning shows.
Yeah.
Back then it was from 6 to 8 or 6 to 9.
He doesn't wake up that early anymore.
No, he doesn't. No, he barely did back then. But he let me join him for his show on the weekdays. And I would get up and help film and go and produce that show. This is when I was in college. So I'd wake up, do that, and then go straight to classes and then practice every day. It was fun. I loved it.
Let me ask you, for people who maybe listen, if you hadn't pieced it together yet, because we kind of glossed over it a little bit, but if you don't know Matt, but you followed along here, you've heard him talk about, you know, being born without a right hand and this, and but then we happened to mention, oh yeah, you played on the golf team at Arkansas State, and that wasn't like a throw a kid a bone. You were a heck of a golfer. Are you old enough now to have some perspective on what that means, look back and think that you had one hand and you were a Division I college golfer?
Well, I mean, Coach Abel was very good to me, and he let me walk on. And I mean, he made me try out with all the other walk-ons. I think the number to shoot to walk on was like 77 or something. And I think I shot it right on the number. So he let me walk on. And yes, I was on the team. I wasn't in the top five a lot, but I was there practicing with them all and made great memories and great friends that I still talk to this day. And it was 4 years that I'll never forget. It was a blast to play with some of those players.
So you've talked a lot about your parents and your dad and kind of the influence he had on the way you viewed things. So now, what influence do you think you've had on your kids and the way they're going to view things?
Man, that's a great question. I hope the same way. I hope they see me as someone who doesn't give up and will figure anything out on their own. I try to tell my son all the time, he's starting to pick up golf, and he gets frustrated sometimes, and as most kids do with the game. And I'm just telling the same things that I was taught. And Hudson, if I can figure it out with one hand, you most certainly can figure it out with two. So he takes that to heart, and he still grinds at it and practices. But I just want to teach them to never give up in anything that they do.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student-athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled I-M-P-A-C-K-T-Club.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Continuing to visit with Matt Hubbard here on the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. And one thing that Brad mentioned a moment ago, back in 2012, the GoDaddy Bowl, you got noticed because of what turned into an iconic sign, Matt. And just to kind of set up the moment for those who don't remember, Coach Malzahn had just been hired at Arkansas State, and the Red Wolves were playing at the GoDaddy Bowl in Mobile. You made the trip, Matt, and your sign read, "I gave my right arm for Malzahn." I'm sure you had no idea it would explode the way it did. I know you took a picture with Coach Malzahn at the game, and that got a lot of recognition as well. But I can't imagine. I'm trying to think now, if it were 2024 and that happened, it blew up and was as much of a viral sensation as it could be back in 2012. But I can't imagine how big that would have been if it happened today.
He'd be a meme.
Probably would be. It's probably a good thing it did. It's not 2024. But I have to say, that was not my idea. I will say it was one of my teammates, former teammates, Ryan Knoll, who played golf at ASU as well. He actually said, "You ought to make a sign." I'm like, "Really? What should it say?" And he's like, "I don't know. I gave my right arm for Malzahn." I said, "You know what? That's actually brilliant." And so we were all over at Jared Woodard's house the night before. We were leaving early, early in the morning. And Jared's wife, Lindsay, made it. She made all the A's, like A states. I said, "Y'all, this is going to be great." So I will come up clean and say it wasn't originally my idea. However, I had the prop to pull it off.
I've never seen a sign, though, have a sequel. And you did have a sequel, because the following year, after Coach left for Auburn, we're back at the GoDaddy Bowl, same place. And you brought another sign. This time it said, "I want my right arm back."
That one was my idea.
Okay.
I was so mad that Gus left us, which back then, the success we were having with Hugh Freeze and then Gus, and my goodness, that was two fun years. We thought Gus would be there for forever, but just the way he talked and everything, we thought he'd be there at least way more than one more year.
You think I'm going to be here 1 year? You don't know me.
Now, I will say it was a perfect storm.
Yeah, he's gone back and apologized for making that comment.
Oh, yeah, I know. We still talk to the Malzahn. They're great friends. But, yeah, it was just a perfect storm that happened, and you can't blame someone for doing that. Well, but at the time, I was heated, and I was upset.
Hey, one time you and I did a radio segment just on this right here, but since we got here for just another couple minutes, tell them the story about the time you thought you guys were in a nuclear bomb.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, there was the year in Hawaii when the ballistic missile threat alarm went off. And I had my wife and son. My daughter wasn't born yet. Actually, Lily was pregnant with her at the time. And we were in Hawaii for the golf events in January and the Sony Open. And we were on Waikiki Beach. And it was early in the morning. I was getting up, getting ready for work. And all of a sudden, our phones start blowing up with a missile threat. This is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is a warning. Please seek shelter immediately. And we are I mean, we're freaking out. And we look outside and the entire beach, the entire side, everyone's going crazy because they're everyone's getting this alarm on their phone. So we didn't know what to do. Well, Lily, bless her soul, said, get on the phone with Delta, get us on the next flight out. And I said, Lily, I don't think we could even make it out of this hotel before this thing hits. She thought she we could get on a flight and get out of there. But it was a scary 26 or 30 minutes or so.
Because it was a some kind of screw up. Like, what ended up causing that?
Or they said they accidentally hit the button, which I don't believe that one bit. I truly think it happened and we shot it down and nobody talks about it.
Yeah. I don't know if that's a button that can accidentally get hit.
You think exactly.
Nobody's it's got their just, hand just sitting on it.
It's not like the Staples Easy button where it's just sitting there and someone accidentally sits down and, oh, whoops, push the nuclear missile button.
All right, now we'll go lighthearted here because obviously things worked out. You said after a little trip here, it's back to the Open. Like, what's it like being over there for the Open Championship and Lynx Golf?
Being a golf fan that I am, junkie, it's one of the coolest things I've ever been to, especially a couple of years ago at the 150th. It was at St. Andrews. Being at the home of golf, it gives you chill bumps. And, I mean, that's where it all started. There's nothing like the Open. You never know what you're going to get. You could either get sunshine one day or it could be blowing 30 and sideways rain. And just the Lynx golf is awesome. And actually this year, Jack Maxey, who plays for ASU, is going to help us out.
Oh, wow.
Okay, cool.
He lives over in England. And I think he lives about 3 or 4 hours from Royal Troon, where the Open is this year. And he's going to come help us out and help us spot. It's going to be good.
We'll let you name drop a little bit. Who's been somebody you've been able to meet just through all your travels and work in golf that maybe has been a pleasant surprise to get to know?
There's a lot of them. A lot of the golfers are all genuine and really, really nice. That's a good question.
Well, we're just a few weeks removed from Bryson DeChambeau winning the U.S. Open.
I met Bryson one year at the Western Amateur. I was caddying for Austin Cook, and it was the year that it was down in the ocean. And Austin actually got paired with Bryson DeChambeau the first two rounds of the tournament. So I met him then, but I highly doubt he would remember me. I will say a few weeks ago at the Valero Texas Open, I got to meet Rory. I was already a Rory McIlroy fan. But, man, he's the nicest guy. I mean, it's so hard not to pull for him. And I know he got blasted for the way he exited the U.S. Open, but yeah. I get it. It's been since 2014, since he's won a major. That was a tough one to swallow right there. He had that thing won, and he missed those two small putts. And, gosh, you never know when you're going to win another major and being that close, and it's been so long. It's tough, and I always pull for Rory. I love the guy. He's such a nice guy. But, yeah, I wanted to see him win that one.
This is the last thing for me real quick, and I'm not kidding, but given what we've talked about here and kind of you just put your head down and do the work and overcome, and have the NBC folks not ever thought of ever, like, doing something on you in a golf broadcast? Because they should.
No. Nor should they.
No, I disagree. That's good. That'd be good content.
Yeah. No, I like to be behind the cameras. The NBC's great. They're a great company to work for. They treat me well. They send me to some incredible places, and they do it first class. We're not staying at Hampton Inns. I mean, we're staying at really, really nice places. And it's been a joy to work with them for the last 10 or so years.
You mentioned Jack Maxey, and it's got to be fun for you just being a A-State golf alum to see Coach Hagan and the team having the kind of success they are right now.
Oh man, it is so fun to watch them play. I actually got to play with Thomas and Jack back in April at the Fun Fest. They're miles ahead of where the team we had. They're so good. And they are they're not only are they good, they're great, great kids. Super fun to be with. We had an absolute blast playing with those two. And you're right. What Coach Hagan has done to the program, man, I hope he stays. He's an awesome guy. He has really elevated our golf program.
Yeah.
It's so fun watching them play at the regionals. I hit refresh probably 1,000 times in 10 minutes to see at the score updates. And
to see who they're ahead of.
Yeah, and yep, that's right, who they beat. But they'll get to nationals soon. Coach Hagan will get them to some nationals.
Well, Matt, we couldn't be more proud of you, man, and really glad we did this. Good to catch up with you, hear your voice, and good luck with a very, very busy next couple of months.
Thank you very much. I appreciate y'all having me on here. I'm hoping to be at the Tulsa game, so I hope to see y'all there.
Yeah.
All right. That's Matt Hubbard joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We'll wrap things up right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours, welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Red Wolves fans, this is Coach Destiny Rogers, and I'm asking you to help our student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that highlights our commitment to teamwork while raising awareness and support for our local community programs. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team letters, special gear, and exclusive access that you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at impactclub.com. That's Impact spelled impactclub.com. Your support makes a real difference in the lives of our student athletes and in the future of our sports program. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast, presented by First National Bank and by Kavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Kavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at KavanaughCars.com. Some exciting news here in the past few days. The men's basketball season opener has been announced. Not only a good team we're playing on opening night, which is Monday, November the 4th, but a good team that will be playing at home at First National Bank Arena. Akron, who won 24 games a season ago, will come to Jonesboro in the first game of the Sun Belt MAC Challenge. And this, I thought, was really good last year, and I like the fact that we're doing the Sun Belt MAC Challenge for a second year in a row. But to open up with a team the likes of Akron, certainly a great challenge for Coach Hodson's team as they open the year.
Well, and it tells you something, too, because right to go in, they handcraft those matchups. So if you're playing a team in this go-around that's at the top of the MAC, that means you're perceived to be a team that's at the top of the Sun Belt. And,
yeah.
And that's the case. And those matchups happen to be on November 4th, which is the opening night of the season.
Yeah, and to have two teams that each won at least 20 games a year ago, I can't imagine there's a whole lot of matchups on opening night that are like that, outside of the marquee matchups that may be being played on a neutral floor somewhere. This has to be one of the more appealing matchups to begin the season. But again, that's Monday, November the 4th,
yeah.
A-State and Akron.
And I'm sure we'll be looking between now and then as, you know, the last time we played a non-conference matchup like that at home, teams with that kind of resume matching up. So it'll be a big one to open. I can already imagine what the crowd will be like.
Football season will be here before you know it. As camp begins in early August, we're going to have a big event, the A-State Kickoff Party, which at least the past couple of years, we've held this event in the indoor, in the Student Activity Center, and doing something different with it this year. On Friday, August 2nd, we're going to hold that event at the Embassy Suites. Going to have live music. There's going to be shopping. You can mingle around, talk to other A-State fans, and it'll end with the program. And it's always a lot of fun to get up there on stage and visit with Coach Jones and the student athletes that are up there on stage as well, but always a fun time. And this event has kind of evolved over the years. I'm looking forward to seeing how it looks at the Embassy. I think it should be a great venue for it, and contact the Red Wolf Foundation to find out how you can get a table and be a part of it.
Yeah, I would think evolve is right. It's just sort of changed. It's looked different ways. It's been different things, and now it's in a different spot. There's a couple different reasons why. Number one, the climate-controlled comfort of the Embassy Suites will not be called into question.
That was the biggest issue the last couple of years, was controlling the climate in that indoor.
Yeah,
the first year was a lot rougher than last year.
Sure was. Yeah, a couple of years ago it was really hot. But here's the thing: the theory, right, of having that thing in the student activity center is really cool. Big event in that big, cool looking indoor. I mean, that's really neat. That's a cool theory. In practice, though, here's the deal: that building, it was not built for comfort.
No, it was not.
That's not the point. Kind of rolling the dice on what the temperature could be like. And that's not the only reason. It's a big reason. It's not the only one. But, yeah, it would be cool to see what that looks like getting over at Embassy Suites.
Another cool event coming up this week, as a matter of fact, is the Red, White, and Blue Color Run. We've done this with East Arkansas broadcasters for a number of years now. And I'll be honest with you, it's one of my favorite events of the year. My family's always a part of it. I know for many years your family was a part of this event.
They've actually been asking if they could still go. So,
well, I'm sure we could set up the Bobo family at a color station somewhere on the course. That's something you guys did for a long time. But, hey, it's a great way to kick off the fourth. For those who have not been out there to Joe Matt Campbell Park for the color run before, registration at 8, the race starts at 9, just $20 for adults, $10 for kids 12 and under. And I love the way people dress up, all patriotic, and I think we'll have at least 4 color stops out there where we'll douse you with color as you go by. But it's a lot of fun, and this year there's a great tie-in with A-State because we're giving the proceeds to the Impact Club. So a great way to help out.
It is, yeah, and that is a fun event. Like I said, for real, it really did come up, and I'm not sure it wasn't the mom of the bunch who asked, will you still go work at a color station on the 4th just because I did it so many years? Yeah, and it's something that the whole family enjoys taking part in.
We talked a lot with Matt Hubbard about golf, but we actually got to play this past week.
Yep.
And we got to play with somebody that we've never played with before. Somebody that's a very good friend of ours that I guess has taken up golf in recent weeks.
Speaking of, climate controlled settings.
Jerry Scott.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry's dusted off the golf clubs. Golf clubs that, by the way, Jeff Purinton's giving him a lot of grief over. We may work to Jerry's favor. Like, Jeff's already threatening, like, a year down the road or whenever Jerry's 20th work anniversary is, maybe getting him some new golf clubs.
Well, I'll tell you, I admired Jerry the other day. He got better with every single hole. I think he was at his best on the final hole. I can't say I got better with every single hole because, anymore, I know you play a lot more than I do, but I think I was 6 or 7 holes in. My sole came off my golf shoe. I mean, like the front half of it. I was flopping around for the final 12 holes we played. And then any golfer can relate. If they played any amount of time, you get a blister and it just ruins your round. And I got a blister on my hand about 12 holes in. So I finished my round with a busted shoe and a blister. Not my best day,
but it was a fun time out there.
We did. We had a lot of fun. The St. Bernard's Triple Swing,
which is just a phenomenal event, a really cool event, kind of on the local golf and sports calendar. They raise a ton of money, and they do a great job sort of earmarking, sometimes years at a time, kind of a particular project going on. I think they're in a run right now where maybe they're raising money for their cancer center. The money they raise at Triple Swing turn around and is earmarked to do a lot of good with the folks and the patients at St. Bernard's.
All right. Anything else we need to mention before we get out of here?
Well, we've got a deal going on this week. If you're listening, it's the week of the 4th. You don't have football tickets, or you got somebody wanting some, or you want to just maybe you've never caught a game from the chair back seats and you'd like to give that a go. We got a way for you to do that this week. All 6 games available. You can go choose one, but you can get 4 chair back seats and a parking pass for the low price of $177.60.
Okay.
Because it has 1776.
I see what you're doing now.
And that's really, you run the numbers, that's right at half off. So if you want to do that, pretty easy website, astateredwolves.com/July4 will take you to it. The instructions are on there, but there's a place for a promo code. It's USA. And we do that, boom, the discount's applied. You can get 4 chair back seats and a parking pass to any of the 6 home games this fall.
It'll be here quick.
Yep.
Thanks again to Matt Hubbard for joining us. Really enjoyed that visit. For Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week and a very happy 4th.